Before reflecting on today's scripture readings, I'd like to add my voice to the voice of Father Gill in welcoming the Franciscan friars and sisters of the Renewal to the Cathedral Parish here in Philadelphia. I was a Capuchin Franciscan, in fact, the head of the province of Denver when this community began to form itself. And there was a certain resentment against them from the other Capuchin Franciscans in the country because they were living the life more authentically. And when you have somebody living the Christian life or the Franciscan life more authentically from yourself, the first reaction is to do what? To say something's wrong with them rather than saying something wrong with me. And they've been a wonderful source of renewal for Franciscans throughout our country and the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, we're glad to have you here, and we hope that your own preaching and most of all your good example will lead our parish into a greater fidelity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So welcome. And that means all of you have to come to the mission, parish mission, right? Those of you who are members of this parish. It doesn't do any good for them to preach if no one's listening. So it'd be a very good way to begin Advent by being attentive to the parish mission. Also this week, Father Gill told us we're celebrating 40 hours here in the Cathedral Parish, which is a special devotion to the Eucharist that was highly promoted by the fourth Bishop of Philadelphia, St. John Newman, who is a saint. And it's a way of spending time in contemplation and gratitude for the gift of the Eucharist in the Church. So, Advent is a time when we imitate Mary, who pondered all these things in her heart when she got the news of her being called to be the mother of Jesus. And participation in the 40-hour devotion would be a way for us to ponder the mysteries of our faith, the gift of Jesus Christ in our own hearts. So we have the parish mission. We have 40 hours. I hope you'll take advantage of those moments of grace. So we move from that into a reflection on today's scripture readings in the context of the season of Advent. We know it's different today. We didn't have the Gloria. The Song of the Angels at the time of Jesus' birth is put off for 4 weeks as we prepare for Christmas. The vestment we wear is purple, which is both a sign of penance but also a sign of deep reflection. We have the Advent wreath, which symbolizes the growing light of Christ in the darkness of the earth. You know, every week a new candle is added to the one lit the Sunday before. All of that symbolizes what this season is about. But we Americans today aren't very symbolic, are we? You know, there's a danger that we'll just say, oh, that's nice decoration, and the priest is vested in a different kind of way, and we'll take these symbols in a very shallow way rather than trying to incorporate ourselves into the spirit of the Church. And the spirit of the Church for the next 4 weeks is a spirit of Advent. Advent is a Latin word, Adventus, which refers to the coming of Jesus. You know, today in the Church, today is the first Sunday of the new year. In a month's time, we'll have the beginning of the calendar year. And not long after that, our time runs out, because each one of us is going to die, right? And so the Church asks us to be attentive, to wake up, to pay attention, so we don't miss the Lord when he comes. You know, there are three focuses of Jesus coming in the season of Advent. The first, of course, is his coming at the end of time. You know, we believe as a church that Jesus will come again at the end of time to judge the living and the dead, and you and I will be part of that group. We might be dead already or we might be alive, because we don't know the day or the hour, right? So that's one coming of Jesus that we pay attention to in the season of Advent. The second is looking back in time to Jesus coming among us in human flesh at the time of his birth in Bethlehem, those many, many centuries ago. And the third coming, which is perhaps the most important coming for most of us, really, is Jesus coming to us now. You know, it's about the Lord coming. It's not about death coming. It's about the Lord coming. And the season of Advent is a time when we think about all three of those dimensions of Jesus coming: the meaning of the incarnation, the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of the judgment at the end of our lives and the end of time, and attentiveness to Jesus coming into our lives today. We don't do it one week at a time, we do it all together. Focus on all three of those comings of Jesus in our life, in the church today. So with that in mind, let us look at today's scripture readings. Today's first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is the chief book of prophecy that we use in the season of Advent. And in this particular passage, which is from the second chapter of Isaiah, we have the prophet painting for us the perfect kingdom of peace that God will create. And what's interesting about this is that this vision of the kingdom of peace is taking place at a time of violence in the history of the Jews in the 8th century before Christ, when they were being attacked by the power of what is today Iraq. And in the midst of that, God gave the prophet Isaiah words proclaiming God's vision for peace in our lives and in our community. And it says wonderful things. The part that I find most interesting, because it's the one that is most attractive to people of our time, is the passage that is actually used on the outside of the United Nations in New York about they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know, to turn our swords into plowshares, you know, to turn tanks into tractors would be the way we could say it today. You know, to turn their spears into pruning hooks, turn our battleships into hospitals. And our troops would be used not to fight with other people, but to be sources of humanitarian help in difficult places in the world. That's the image of the world that God wants us to understand is his desire for us. You know, God desires peace in our hearts, in our families, in our country, which is torn apart now by, you know, debate about the election, and in our world. But we learn from this reading that there won't be that kind of peace unless we walk in the light of the Lord. You know, the reading begins by telling us, in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house, which is Jerusalem, shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and they will say, come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths. The only way to peace, again, in our hearts, in our families, in our country, in the world, is to let ourselves be instructed by the Lord and to walk in his paths. And the season of Advent is a time for us to listen so we might be instructed in his ways and we might again begin to walk in his paths. So he gives us a vision that we need to walk towards as we celebrate this season of Advent. Our second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. And this letter, if you read the whole thing, is full of all kinds of concrete directions from St. Paul, especially around issues of human sexuality. And he does that again in this reading, you know. And he says, the time for us to embrace the way of Jesus, to walk in his paths, is now. Not to simply talk about it, but to do something about it, actually, right? And that's, again, the spirit of the season of Advent, that this is the time that God has given us to make a difference in our lives. We have 4 weeks to prepare for Christmas, and these weeks should make a difference in our lives. Brothers and sisters, you know the time. It is the hour now for you to wake up from sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Well, that's certainly true, isn't it? For each one of us, when we first came to believe, we were little kids. Now some of us are old men and older women, so the day of salvation is nearer than it used to be for us. So we better get busy about waking up, you know, not just from sleep, but, you know, from our inattentiveness to the way that the Lord speaks to us in our lives. You know, and every one of us here has been inattentive to the Lord as he comes to us, knocking on the door of our heart and our mind. We miss the graces, the opportunities that the Lord offers to us. St. Paul goes on to say, then let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, why is it that the darkness is associated with sin? Why is it that night is associated with sin more than the daytime? I don't really know, but I suspect it's because we can hide in the dark, right? And we don't want our sins known, so we don't sin when people can see us. We sin in the privacy of our hearts, the privacy of our rooms, the privacy of our lives. And St. Paul is telling us we should live like people who can live in the light all the time. We don't have to hide from God or from one another. We don't have to hide our sins because we are moving into a different kind of life, into light rather than into darkness. And then he uses a beautiful image. You know, he tells us not to get drunk or have orgies. There's no room in our lives for promiscuity and lust, nor for rivalry and jealousy. You find yourself among those descriptions? I do. I find myself there. But he says, instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that when we were baptized, when you and I were baptized, part of the rite of baptism is to put on a white garment. You know, back in the really old days of the church, in the beginning, they used to, before they were baptized, they would wear animal skins to symbolize Adam and Eve, who when they sinned, hid from God and covered themselves with animal skins so that God wouldn't see them, you know. Before that, they didn't wear anything because they weren't afraid to be who they were, right? But again, in the old baptismal rite of the church, they would wear these animal skins, and right before baptism, they would take them off, and they would go into the waters of baptism without anything on. They were dunked in the water 3 times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then they came out the other side, and they put on a white garment, which symbolized the new life that they were embracing, which was the life of Jesus, right? And to embrace Jesus' life means to think like him and act like him and talk like him, to be like him. And St. Paul says, that's what we need to do. Give up the darkness, put on Christ Jesus. You know, it's a symbol, but it's supposed to lead to a reality that the symbol represents, which is Jesus himself. And make no provisions, he says, for the desires of the flesh. That's a real interesting word, flesh. It sounds lustful, doesn't it, the flesh. But St. Paul, when he uses the word flesh, doesn't mean sex. What he means is that part of the human nature which opposes God. So the flesh is what opposes the spirit. You know, that part of us that focuses on ourselves, right, rather than focuses on God and other people. And for those of us who are Christians, we should make no provisions for self-centeredness, you know, which St. Paul refers to here as rivalry and jealousy, right? But instead, we should embrace fully the life of Christ Jesus. And the season of Advent is for us a time to get serious about doing that again. We've all done it in our baptism. We've renewed our baptisms hundreds of times, at least some of us have. And we need to do it again in this wonderful season, awaiting for the Lord to come to us again. And finally, we come to today's gospel, which is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. You know, the scriptures of the church on Sundays are divided into 3 sections. And 1 year is a year of St. Mark's Gospel, the next year is a year of St. Luke's Gospel, then we have St. Matthew's Gospel, and the Gospel of St. John is used throughout in different places. But we begin on this first Sunday of this new liturgical year with a reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, and that's the Gospel we will use throughout the rest of the year till next Advent. And in this reading, which is taken from the end, towards the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus giving his disciples instructions about being prepared. And it's a great reading for us to have right after Black Friday. and Cyber whatever, Cyber Saturday. Is that what yesterday was, or is that Cyber Sunday? Maybe it's today, I don't know. But I know we're doing cybers and black things, you know. Well, listen to this. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away." Well, Christmas malls are like the days of Noah, you know, where we're preoccupied with eating and drinking and buying and, you know, some of this is good, by the way. You know, you could be preoccupied with good things, but to the point where they take you away from the really important things, they can be bad. And that's what Jesus is saying. They were so distracted by the ordinary things of life, which are important, that they had no room to be attentive to the sign of the Lord's coming. And he tells us not to be like that, right? So it will also be at the coming of the Son of Man. And this doesn't mean at your death, it means now, as he comes to us now. And if he comes to you now, knocking at the door of your heart with graces of conversion, and you're spending your time in the mall instead, that gets in the way. You know, we need to open space in our lives now, every day, for the coming of the Lord. So I want you to do an exercise with me at this moment. I want you to think of the way the Lord came to you last week when something great happened to you. You know, it might have been simply a kind word from your boss, or it could have been that your husband actually paid attention to you today, that day, or that the children were obedient, or you fell in love with somebody, or that you faced your sin for the first time. I mean, those are moments when the Lord comes. And we need to be grateful for those moments, right? But we also need to be attentive so we see them, so that we can respond to the grace of the moment and be grateful for the grace of the moment. But think of a time. I'm just going to give you 20 seconds. Okay, I thought of three of them. I hope you thought of at least one, because he comes often to us. If we just pay attention, we'll see when he comes. And then Jesus says, "At the coming of the Son of Man, two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one of them will be taken and one of them will be left. Therefore, stay awake." Now, have you read any of those novels, what are they called, where, you know, people get snatched out of this world and, what's it called? Rapture, but there's a series of books that's made an evangelical Christian a lot of money because he sold millions and millions of these books about the rapture. And people say, well, that's what this is about, that at the end of time, you know, we're going to be working side by side with people and some will be taken in rapture to heaven and somebody else will be left behind. That'd be my luck, you know, I'd be left behind. But that's not what this means. It's the opposite, you know. What he's saying here is like if there's an invasion of a country, some people will be taken into slavery and some will be left behind. So being left behind is the best thing in the real meaning of this passage. But what he's saying actually is that some pay attention and some don't. And we want to be in the crowd of those who pay attention to the Lord so we don't miss him when he comes into our lives. Because it makes our life so much richer, so much fuller, so much happier if we pay attention to the Lord when he comes. And then there's a third image that Jesus uses in this gospel to get our attention. It's the image of the thief. You know, it's interesting in the scriptures, Jesus tells us that he's the vine and we're the branches. He's the good shepherd and we're the sheep. Here he's telling us he's the robber and we're the victims of the robbery. You know, that God will come to us just like a thief comes in the middle of the night, and if we're not prepared, bad things happen to us. You know. So, this is what Advent's about. It's about having the heart of Mary, who paid attention when the angel spoke to her and pondered those things in her heart. You know, the thing, the difference between Mary and us is that she was wholly attentive to the Lord, and we are seldom attentive to our God. May the Lord give us a holy Advent, full of awareness of the many ways he comes to us, in prayer, in the sacraments of the church, in the voices of our neighbors and our friends, and in spectacular ways we can't imagine. May the Lord be praised.